Chapter 16. He gently shut the door behind him.
How does a cop afford to live in a place like this?
Davis said as he walked down the long corridor. He then reached into his pocket and pulled out a pill bottle and took a couple of pills, swallowing them down dry.
What are those?
Asked Dr. Shepherd.
Oh, these. They help keep my annoying brother's voice out of my head. And so far, they work.
Oh, I see.
Yep, he thought he was the boss. Guess I showed him. Well, I believe our work here is done now.
Ellis Davis said as he opened the driver door to his sedan.
What now?
Asked the doctor as he walked around the car to get himself in.
You're done here,
Ellis said with a grin.
But
go. They don't know about you. Of that, I am sure. Stay hidden. You never know when I might need your services again someday. Oh, look, it's starting to rain,
Davis said as he looked toward the sky.
Where are you going?
Asked the doctor.
Well, I am sure there are several people that want me dead, so I am going to go to the safest place I know.
And where would that be?
To jail, of course.
What? You can't be serious.
Oh, yes. They can't touch me in there. No matter what I do, once inside, I can't be touched. Especially since I am, after all, insane.
Davis grinned a thin, wide grin as he slid behind the wheel of his car.
Wait,
the doctor said as he leaned down to the open window.
Did you have this planned all along? I mean, to turn yourself in afterwards.
Well, let's see. I killed a cop's family. Not only does that destroy his life, but makes an impact on those closest to him. Then you killed the old man, for which I am sure they will blame me, because he was someone the Jaguar uses as his eyes on the street. Then I attacked police headquarters, which causes psychological damage to anyone that was remotely connected to the explosion, and all the while releasing a killing machine to destroy almost all of the police force in town. There is no way I was getting out of this alive. So, I will go to the only place where I cannot be harmed. Ironically enough, it's the same place in which I caused most damage. Not bad for a day's work, would you say?
You are either the craziest man I have ever met, or the most brilliant.
Well, let's hope the courts vote for the former. So long, Doc. Oh, and I wouldn't hang around this apartment building very long tonight.
Dr. Shepherd watched until the madman's car was completely out of sight.
Thank God you made it, Jack Manson said as he made his way to where Akira Chung was standing.
Yes, it was rough, but we survived,
Chung said as he leaned hard on his walking stick.
Was anyone hurt? Manson asked the first suit he saw.
Well, let's see,
the man said as he flipped open a notebook.
Looks like a couple of non-fatal injuries.
Well, that's something anyway.
Marshal Tester, Jack said as he watched the female agent approach him. Any word? Asked Manson.
Well, your vigilantes took off to look for Davis,
she said, coming to a stop directly in front of the detective.
I hope they don't find him. I want him first,
said Roger York, who was standing beside Manson.
Well, he is out there somewhere and...
The marshal paused as she watched the black Jaguar pull to a stop along the street in front of the police station. The Jaguar stepped out of his car, his scarf still covering his face.
Death calling is dead, he said as he rounded his vehicle.
Any word on Davis?
Not yet, Manson answered.
Oh, where's Tilson?
I dropped him at his hotel. His friend was injured and needed rest.
All right. So one down, and one to...
Manson's words trailed off as he watched Davis step from a vehicle with his hands high in the air. No one had noticed him yet. Then Manson turned to see Roger's face go flush.
Roger, no! Jack said as he grabbed Roger's arm to keep him from drawing his weapons. Marshal Tester turned and drew her weapon instantly.
Get down on the ground, Davis!
She shouted as she began her approach toward the killer. The Jaguar noticed also, but then he noticed something else. Figures began to form in the windows across the street. He then looked back to where Davis was now kneeling. Davis knelt on both knees as he placed his hands behind his head. Jennifer slowed the car down at the sight of the man walking toward them. "Do you think that's the doc that was reported missing?" asked James as they watched the man in the expensive suit make his way down the city sidewalk.
"It sure looks like his bolo pick,"
Jennifer said as she eased the car to the curb. James stepped from the vehicle.
"Dr. Shepherd?" James shouted.
The doctor turned sharply to see who it was that had recognized him. He then turned and began picking up his pace. James quickly grabbed his shillelagh and flung it at the legs of the doctor. The doctor stumbled forward and fell to the sidewalk.
"So maybe you weren't abducted,"
Jennifer said as she pulled the man up to his feet.
"Why were you running?"
she asked.
"I don't know you people."
"We are looking for Ellis Davis."
"Yeah, where is he?"
James chimed in.
"Well, the last place I saw him was at Detective Manson's house." "All right, we'll start there,"
said Jennifer as she drug the doctor to her car. The car came to a stop outside of Manson's apartment.
"Now, you seen him go in there?"
asked James as he looked toward Jennifer.
Yes, I did." "All right, you wait here. We'll be back,"
Jennifer said as she and James exited the car.
"You know, Jen, there is something shady about this doctor," said James.
"I know. I don't trust him either,"
added Jennifer. Dr. Shepherd had made a lucrative living surviving the bosses of the underworlds. He knew when to talk and when to listen. He knew when to make his exit, and he knew how to manipulate. And now he watched as the two hunters entered the building that now housed Detective Manson. The same apartment, not a few minutes ago, Ellis Davis and he had exited. He sat in the back seat of the small sports car as he watched the two persons jimmy Jack Manson's door loose. He could see all of this through the hallway window, and then the building erupted in flames and smoke. Dr. Shepherd sat with a smile on his face. He watched as the debris fell only inches from the car in which he was sitting. He then slowly exited the vehicle and climbed into the driver's seat. He placed the car in drive and slowly pulled away. U.S. Marshal Tester pulled the cuffs from her belt as she approached Davis. What she couldn't see, with the rain in her face and darkness taking over the sky, was that Davis had a concealed pistol taped to the rear of his neck. In an instant of time, a moment, history changes. The evil man everyone knows to be insane pulls his weapon and takes aim at the one thorn in his side. Manson spots the pistol. He has to make that one decision that can alter one's life forever. That one decision that can make you a hero or a coward. He sees the pistol being aimed at the man in the long coat, the dark man everyone knows as the Jaguar. His decision has been made. He pulls away from his best friend, Roger. He sprints his thin frame across the police station lawn, and then he makes the leap of faith. The trigger is squeezed. The cap is blown. Deborah Tester had already ducked the bullet before it ever left the gun. She was now laying on her suspect, holding him to the ground. But no one is faster than a bullet. However, Manson found his way into its path. First, the suddenness of the impact, then the pain, then numbness. Jack Manson fell at the feet of the Jaguar, with the bullet lodged in his heart. The night glistened above him. He saw the very first shooting star of his life, and it streaked with a beauty that he had never seen before. In fact, he had never really noticed how beautiful the night sky was until this very moment. His eyes squinted as the raindrops danced at the end of his lashes. He could see his gray fedora lying beside his head. He could hear voices. He could see the muzzle flashes from the weapons as they were fired all around him. It was war, something he had known for many lifetimes. He felt the pain in his back, but through it all, a smile formed at the corners of his mouth. His thin mustache stretched as his teeth were shown.
"Jack! My lord! Someone call an ambulance!"
He could hear his partner, Roger York, shout. Jack looked up at his friend's face. His countenance was grim, but Roger had seen his share of heartache during the last few days as well. Roger leaned over his friend's body.
"Jack, don't worry. We'll get you out of here,"
Roger said as he wiped the raindrops from his freshly shaved, bald, glistening head.
"Hurry with that ambulance,"
Roger shouted. Jack's eyes focused on Roger's face.
"You know, Rog, that goatee is not regulation. You look more like a wrestler than a detective,"
Jack said as he turned his head and closed his eyes, and then he...
"Roger, get down!"
shouted the Jaguar as he watched gunfire coming from a window across the street.
"Where are those shooters coming from?"
Roger shouted as he ducked behind the black Jaguar. Bullets were bouncing off the shiny black metal. The windows were no match for such ammunition. Roger took a long look at his friend as he lay in the mud. Marshal Tester was firing her weapon toward an open window in retaliation, all the while trying to cover her prisoner.
"Davis, are these your people? Tell them to stop firing,"
she said, her voice trying to match the decibels of the weapons being fired. Davis began laughing at the entire situation.
"I assure you, madam, they are not mine,"
he said.
"Hand him here. We are taking him."
"Who are you?"
Marshal Tester asked, looking up at the shadow that was speaking to her. She knew her weapon was spent. Although she strained her eyes, she could not see more than an outline of a man that was talking to her.
"Look, I am a..."
Before she could finish her sentence, a bullet tore into her skull, sending her backwards into the rain-soaked ground, dead. Roger leaped from his position behind the Jaguar. He could see the marshal lying on her back. He then saw the man dragging Ellis Davis off across the street. Roger aimed his pistol, but then something caught the corner of his eye. Several men, dressed in dark clothing, were advancing on him. The front man fell suddenly. Then Roger looked and could see Akira standing over the man. Another man came up to Akira, and he swung what appeared to be a baseball bat at the blind man's head. But the Asian man was quick, and he ducked and was able to gain control of the bat, throwing the man off balance and causing him to land on his face. By now, the Jaguar had made it into the building where most of the gunfire was coming from. He bounded up the stairs until he heard the sounds coming from one of the offices. He kicked the door in and rolled to his right, coming up into a kneeling position where he took aim and fired an arrow into an assassin that was holding a high-powered rifle. Once Ellis was shoved into the rear of the automobile, the firing ceased. Roger lowered his weapon. He looked to Akira, who stood in his traditional fighting stance. Roger turned to see Carl Colvin as he made his way from behind the police station. He could see that the Jaguar was across the street, and then there was Jack. The Jaguar pulled his cell phone from his pocket.
"Come on, Jen, pick up."
"Hey, guys.
Word just came in Manson's place was bombed,"
said a uniformed officer as he raced to his cruiser.